Welcome to the briefing room, a Healthcare Communications Association initiative brought to you by the Foresight Committee. I'm Ramota Alaran, the Associate Director of Real World Evidence at CITIF, and I am co-hosting and co-leading the briefing room series with Joe Spasadino, the co-founder of an agency called STIRT. Both of us are colleagues on the HSA Foresight Committee. The committee explores topics that have relevance not only for today, but also help us as professionals prepare for tomorrow. In our briefing room, we talk with prominent senior business leaders at the forefront of change in a wide variety of roles in the pharmaceutical sector to help us build a timely picture of what the future key areas of focus are and the future asks will be for us as healthcare communicators. In today's wonderful episode, I have the brilliant Eugene Osei-Bonsu. He is the Senior Director, Marketing and Strategy Lead at Takeda. Thank you so much for joining us, Eugene.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
So, let's just dive right in. Before we start to talk a lot about your role at Takeda, I'd love to sort of talk a bit about your career journey and how you got into your current role and what that journey has taught you a bit about, you know, being in the pharmaceutical sector, but also healthcare communications.
So my journey within the healthcare communication or within the pharmaceutical industry started well over 25 years ago. And I've worked predominantly in several sales and marketing capacities, as well as in the commercial operation roles. And I think the key ingredient that I've taken through everything I've done is the importance of building trust and working with your team to build a strong team ethos in terms of how you wish to engage with your stakeholders. Communication is never easy. And the difficulty is how you get the message across succinctly, clearly, and really help people understand what it is you're trying to get across. So what that taught me is the need to be precise, the need to be concise, and really to understand your audience, what their needs are, and how you can convey what's important to them in a way that matters most.
Brilliant, thank you. And can you talk to us a bit more about what it is that you currently do at Takeda?
I work as the marketing strategy for our neuroscience business across our MCE region, and that is Europe, Canada, and all regions outside the United States, excluding Japan and China. And in my role, I'm responsible for our ADHD portfolio, and also supporting with the launch as well of our new products in the pipeline. So I work cross-functionally with our team members. I also work collaboratively with the various countries within the region. And what we do is really focus on how well we can communicate our brands to our various customers in a way that's meaningful and really support the many patients that are suffering from ADHD.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. It sounds like a very interesting role. And so how do you think that the industry has evolved since you've joined to the position that you are in now in Takeda?
The industry has changed over the last 20 years in many, many ways. I think at the moment, there's a lot more emphasis on really understanding how we use digital technology. There's a key focus on personalized medicine as a whole. And the industry is also looking very closely at how we achieve sustainability in terms of what we do from a manufacturing supply perspective and really ensuring that we are being responsible in terms of environmental responsible and in terms of the impact we have within the climate. So it's really about being efficient with data management, how we use data to make decisions, and really how we engage with our stakeholders with that data. The market environment is changing as well, and that budgets have become increasingly compressed, where our payers and many countries around the region are struggling in many ways to afford the new medications that come along. So we are having to adapt to new regulatory policies, and that requires strengthening what we do in terms of market access, what we do in terms of bringing products to the market, and also how we engage with patient advocacy groups and patient organizations and also medical societies.
Brilliant, thank you. And so now I want us to focus a bit more on the healthcare communications aspect of your role and sort of your extensive experience in that. So I'm going to ask a question that we tend to ask a lot of our interviewees, which is, what does great healthcare communications look like to you? And I'd love to know, especially in relation to what you do.
Okay, so if I can think back of a specific example of communication that was done, a campaign that was done in our UK organization probably about a couple of years ago called Staring Back at Me. And that was particularly impactful because it aimed to address the misdiagnosis or underdiagnosis of ADHD in women and non-binary individuals. What they did is they partnered very closely with patient organizations and ambassadors of people living with ADHD. And the campaigns created a powerful narrative that resonated with a very wide audience. And they did it through social media and really getting people's personal experience to talk about what it meant for them. It included a microsite, influence activation, community engagement, and media engagement, all really about raising that awareness and seeking support from healthcare professionals. I mean, it was inspirational because it highlighted the importance of recognizing and addressing the unique challenges faced by underrepresented groups within the ADHD community. It also demonstrated a commitment to inclusivity and health equity, in particular, ensuring that diverse perspectives were represented and integrated into the campaign and also into its execution. The initiative not only raised awareness, but also empowered individuals to take action and also to seek the support that they needed.
That sounds like a really amazing initiative. And you touched on the use of social media in this. So I'd love to hear a bit more about your thoughts about how social media is sort of impacting healthcare communications.
Right. So I think social media is a blessing and a curse at the same time. Why? Because it enables us to get a good reach to our audience, and you can actually use that to engage people in ways that we could never do before. Nevertheless, because of the fact that it's got such a wide reach and it's so open, it's also a risk of misinformation and misinterpretation of what we do. So within our industry, it's quite important that we adhere to various regulations in terms of what we do within that social media space, and also to monitor, particularly because of our responsibility for capturing any adverse events that might be talked about, particularly with our product that our patients are on. So it has a mixed blessing. I think we need to understand how to use it. We need to understand how to manage information in a way that makes it beneficial to the end user. And we also need to be careful and just see how what's going on in there. So it's always been a tricky one. And a lot of companies have been particularly hesitant in using it to the extent in which many of our other industries use social media. So we have a more or less regulated or say tempered use of that social media environment.
And do you find that organizations within our industry are starting to have a bit more of a buy-in to the use of social media now?
I think as we've gotten more used to how we can use it, and I think our regulators are providing us the guardrails, more and more people are beginning to use it in a way that enables us to communicate responsibly. All right. So I think the emphasis is on responsible communication and the emphasis on how we monitor what's there and putting the right guardrails in place is what's critical.
Absolutely. And so it sounds, I mean, the example that you gave that brought us onto the topic of social media sounds like social media is something that it's kind of a trend in our industry right now. So I'd love to understand what you feel as though some what are some of the other top trends within the pharmaceutical sector right now?
AI, obviously. artificial intelligence is literally all around us. And I think that's, again, going back to the point I made earlier about understanding the utilization of data and how we use artificial intelligence to support and augment what we do. It shouldn't take over. We should allow it to run ahead. And that is a huge trend that many organizations are grappling with. And there are several tools, several applications, several conferences, and you can't go to a meeting these days without a discussion around artificial intelligence. So I think that's certainly a trend that we are all come to terms with, and really helping us to shape how we move forward with our, not only our communication, but also how we utilize the data we have to make more informed decisions. So that's one huge trend. And also, I think when it comes to, when you look at it from a clinical science perspective, in terms of clinical trials, in terms of capturing of data, getting product to the market, again, AI has a huge emphasis up there as well. What other trend? I think there's a huge trend towards personalized medicine. Mm-hmm. So really looking at genetics and how we tailor medicines to the different needs of different patients. And again, that's a huge trend that's been going on for a while. And also, I guess I can't, I should also mention the trend towards really engaging with payers, regulatory bodies to really adapt to the changes that are going on in our environment.
Thank you for that. I'm going to pick on each of those trends separately. So to start with the AI trend, you mentioned briefly health equity, and there's been a lot of discussion about the impact that AI can have on health equity. What's your opinion on this? Do you think this is more facts or fiction?
I think AI, if used correctly, will give us the data to demonstrate where health equity doesn't exist, right? It will allow us to see that, because the data exists, but we haven't yet gotten to a place where we are able to aggregate that data sufficiently to make that fundamental argument, all right? And it helps bring it to the fore. But at the end of the day, it's only as good as the information and the data we put in. And in order for that to happen, we need to have the right voices at the table. We need to have the right different sort of people's needs input into that data as well. So I make an example. If, for instance, you're developing a policy based on data, and that data is only from one segment of our society, then obviously you're not going to achieve the equity you need if you're not addressing the needs of other segments of society as well. So I think you have to have people who are looking at those outputs and being able to interrogate them and recognize where there may be gaps or where you're not actually able to achieve that equity that we would hope for. All right. Mm-hmm. So, In my mind, what I'm saying is that human element, the need for diversity, the need for a range of people to be able to have a voice at the table and be able to assess what are the data we're using to develop a policy to achieve health equity is the right kind of data.
I like that perspective, and I agree with you. So you also touched on personalized health, and we've spoken a bit about social media. My understanding is that social media is one of the tools that can help in personalized health. So what is your opinion on the intersection between personalized health, healthcare communications, and tools like social media?
That's a big question. Where do I start? The intersection between social media, personalized medicine, and healthcare tools. Bigger thing we need to watch out for is that the communication that comes through from a healthcare communication perspective is not misinformation about what is or what can be done. All right. So people go onto social media, read all sorts of things, all sort of information without checking what are the references or what are the source is accurate. All right. And then that goes on to then perpetuating, it gets viral, and everyone starts to believe in one subject or the other. With personalized medicine, what I'm describing is a scenario where people really understand what their condition is, how it affects them, and are able to have a dialogue with their healthcare professional in a way that allows them to get the treatment that needs suits their respective needs. Right? And it shouldn't become a one-size-fits-all. And that can be achieved, again, through good understanding of the different needs of different patients or patient groups, but that requires data as well. Right, so that's where the healthcare tools come in. So whilst we can accumulate data over time and looking at the publication of real world evidence and data, really to understand how we collect that data to suit our insights that allow us to enable that personalized medicine to come through. But then when you think about what happens from the social media perspective, it's important that we don't over-exaggerate the information we get. It's important that that information that's put out there is concise, it's clear, and enables us to, or enables our healthcare physicians to treat patients in the way that become personalized.
Thank you for that perspective. I know it was a good question. And the final question I wanted to ask in relation to the trends that you listed is the communications that you mentioned with healthcare professionals and patients. How, I mean, you've been in the industry for about 20 years now, so how have you seen that change over time?
I think, again, the relationship has changed. If I go back 20, 30 years, I think patients are more informed. People now go to their doctors with information about what they believe may be happening to them, about new products, new developments in the therapy area of their disease. And so clinicians will tell you that they're more challenged in that way, in that respect. They don't always have the final word in terms of how they wish to go about treating the patient. People always seek a second opinion. And we move from Dr. Google to Dr. ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. So people are a bit more, taking a little more ownership of their conditions and challenging or looking for different ways to address their health needs. So for that reason, there's an increasing need for or search for information, right? And that's where social media, or should I say the internet, becomes the source of all the references. People will go on and find things and make their own minds up. So it's important we become responsible for the kind of information we put out there about our medications, about treatment modalities, so that if patients pick those up, then they are accurate and they can have a really positive conversation with their clinicians, right? In the same vein, as we engage with healthcare physicians, we can then go through those social media to provide that information that they may need as they engage with their patients. Another difference that's going on is the use of applications, a lot of digital apps around that help people monitor their condition and provide information. So if we take diabetes, for example, there are a lot of monitors that allow people to become self-sufficient in monitoring and being able to share their results remotely with their healthcare physician. So it becomes a lot easier, a lot more tangible in terms of recognizing while a patient's treatment is going positively or is going negatively.
Brilliant, thank you. So to bring it back a bit to healthcare communications in a more focused way, what do you think we need to work harder on, as healthcare communicators in different parts of the sector? What do you think we need to be doing better?
I think first and foremost, it's really about partnering with your clients. So for instance, we're working with a pharmaceutical company. It's really partnering with them to understand what it is that they are trying to communicate and really get to the root causes and help with the shaping of that communication. And many a times where there've been nice publications, lots of clinical studies being done, and you have a publication that needs to get out to the medical fraternity or needs to get out to the general public or to peers or regulatory bodies, and how we communicate that or the channels to which we put that communication through hasn't always been as effective. So, I think the healthcare communications industry can support us and enabling that communication to be effective, efficient, and to reach the target audience that we want to. And for that reason, I think to have the skill set around use of social media, use of technology that we have emerging, and to be at the forefront to be able to provide that kind of consult and feedback.
Brilliant, thank you. And what meaningful difference do you think that we as healthcare communicators can make? What difference, what impacts can we have by doing those things, by being more effective, by working harder on those points?
I think the meaningful impact is that we make, you know, we ensure that the messages we put out there are the correct ones and they reach the right people in the right time.
I agree with you. And so what do you think the future will ask of us as, you know, what do you think the future will ask for us to be more responsible regarding? I mean, we've touched on the topic of social media. Do you think that that will be the only thing, or do you see more evolution in our future?
I think the future is changing at such a pace, and one can only imagine, but, you know, you can visualize what happens when you have artificial intelligence that's controlled by a few people in the world. And, you know, you tend to rely solely on what you're getting out of it. All right. And I think the future will require, in my view, some good regulation in terms of how artificial intelligence is used to communicate, if ever, and how we utilize the tools moving forward. So it's not just social media, but as we progress with different tools, particularly with artificial intelligence, I think we need to have a clear understanding of what could go wrong, and really stress test the information that we get out of it if we use that to carve or to create communication in the future.
I agree. And so we touched briefly on other sectors and how other industries are using technology different to ours. But do you think that if there's anything we can learn from other sectors in terms of communications and how we utilize it?
Well, I can think about FCMGs. I think about the motor industry. I think about politicians who communicate to their populace and how they go about doing that and how they influence what really hits me is the simplicity and the repetition of those core messages. All right, so I think it's how we crystallize our messages in a way that is readily understood by our end user or the audience we are targeting, and how we consistently put that message across in a way that helps them remember and understand the value of what we're trying to get across. All right, so those are examples of things that I think we could learn from FMCG, from the motor industry, from politicians, in terms of how they have a very strong branding that allows whatever product they are looking to get across gets across meaningfully.
I wouldn't have thought of the motor industry, but now that you've said it, I'm like, yeah, that's actually a very good example. Their communications is very efficient.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, and I guess we in the pharmaceutical industry are, I would say, you know, we aren't limited in terms of how we go about our communication. It wouldn't be as free flowing as other industries. But we need to learn and see what is it that we can take from that to really support what we have to do or what we would want to do.
And that leads nicely into my next question. So we spoke a bit about healthcare communication, but obviously, we're in the EU, we have a lot of restrictions about what we can and can't say and how we promote things. So we're in the face of, you know, miscommunication being a very huge problem generally, but also within our industry, what sort of suggestions do you have for how we can potentially combat this? Or what is it that you're currently doing within your role that is potentially helping to combat this?
Good question. I think in terms of miscommunication, one first has to ask, where is this happening? All right, and to really understand where that's what's going on. Is it a matter of the communication being completely wrong, or is it about not being accurate? All right, Can we engage with the people who are putting those communications out and more or less educate them on what the right messages should be or what is correct? Or is there a way in which we can perhaps react to them? All right. So again, you know, we have communication teams in-house. Again, we have people who are scanning, monitoring what's being said on social media, which is what we do, just really to check and make sure that anything that's being said about either our organization or about our brand or about medication that we put can be or should be as accurate as possible. So we have that responsibility as well in that respect.
Thank you. I think that's a good response. And so we've spoken a lot about evolution, we've spoken a lot about things changing. What is the skill set that you think that effective healthcare communicators need? And, you know, have you found that that skill set has changed over time, or it's the same core skills?
It keeps coming back to the fact that we are now in a digital age. All right. So for me, it's that the foundation is really being able to take information and transfer that information to third party or third person in a way with concise and clarity. All right. But we now have the additional tools and particularly live in a digital age. So the extra skills that we do need is the skill set that involve utilization of digital tools. All right. So we talk a lot in our industry on omnichannel engagement. So how we use those different channels effectively. How we follow up on that, again, is one of the key things that we certainly need to sort of be able to do. So in the communication world in general, I think you cannot be a good communicator, if you don't understand and don't know how to use those channels in an effective and efficient way.
And I mean, you work for a major pharmaceutical company, and you do. I know that there's a mix of in-house and external healthcare communications. But, you know, taking into account these skills that you've mentioned, what is it that you feel as though you need from communications agency partners to make the most of, you know, the opportunities and the challenges so that we're all working together effectively to problem solve together?
I think the need to build relationships, to take the time to build a relationship with your clients, right? And build a relationship that is all about trust, where you become part of their team and are part of providing that solution. So at least with the companies I've worked with, I've never felt that it was a transactional relationship. Oh. I've felt more of a partnership. I've always tried to build that partnership with them. So whichever agency I was working with became almost an intrinsic part of my team. And were involved with the discussions as early as possible so they understand or understood what we're trying to achieve. And in so doing, we problem solved together and created its solutions in the longer term. All right. But then what I would look for is that expertise, that desire to bring solutions and to be part of that team.
Brilliant. And stepping back and looking at the bigger picture, if you had a magic wand, what is the greatest challenge you would work to solve right now?
If I had a magic wand,
no restriction.
I'd love to be in a place where we really achieve health equity, where people from diverse parts of the world, different parts of the of our world, do not have to suffer because of inadequate health. So to be able to achieve health equity for all, would be amazing.
Yeah, I that's my wish as well. And then what is the most exciting thing that you're looking forward to in this industry? What do you see coming that you can't wait to be involved in?
I think it's very exciting to note that a lot of work is being done looking at conditions that in the past had not been, you know, been able to deal with. Looking at particularly genetic medicines, looking at sort of various rare diseases that, you know, have a huge impact, albeit on a small proportion of patients. The growth of personalized medicine as well, again, that's very interesting. And more importantly, how we adapt to the utilization of digital tools, so AI in particular, which will accelerate products into the marketplace and make a difference in terms of how we bring products into the market.
Brilliant. And What do you think can stop progress? We've spoken a lot about the future. We've spoken a lot about what's happening. What do you think could keep us where we are, stop us from moving forward?
Could stop progress. What could stop progress? I guess progress could be halted. I don't think it would stop, but if we halt it, it wouldn't be as fast. Particularly when we look at some of the regulatory challenges we have, some of the budget constraints, particularly funding, right? And also the threat of misinformation. All right. So again, that could have a huge impact in our progress. And I guess the complexity of navigating, the global healthcare landscape and ensuring equitable access to treatments. Some countries do not get treatment for many years, so we leave people behind. Right? So how we actually achieve that health equity, my dream, because of the complexity of the healthcare landscape, that could also stop progress.
Brilliant, thank you. And then my final question for you would be, what advice would you give to those who are coming up in the industry, who want to have the longevity that you've had in your career, who are passionate about healthcare communications? What insights would you give to them?
Well, first and foremost, I'd say it's a great industry to work in. It requires a lot of resilience. Don't give up. Continue to be curious. Always look at what's in front of you, and do the best that you can do at the time. All right. Take opportunities, get out of your comfort zone, and explore as much as you can, whilst you can. All right, seek new opportunities when they arise, and enjoy the moment. That's what I would say.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Well, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. I really enjoyed your insights, and I feel like this is going to be a very good episode. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I've enjoyed the conversation as well.